The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies, different companies, different geographies, and we're focused on the mid-market companies between 20 and 200 million and people who have $1 billion in their mind. Wow. Now think about that. The coordination of which industries are ready, which, you know, growth strategy is there, you know, what geography we've got, and it's just great fun. I'm loving, you know, doing these interviews where this has been about a 3.5-year journey, and we're up at about 183,000 listeners every week, so hello. And one group of our listeners is at about that $20 million mark. Another group is about $10 million. The third group is the president's division heads in large corporations. And the fourth group are those of you who are in smaller companies and seeing where you're headed. So I welcome all of you. This week what I decided to do is I noticed there's a pattern in a couple of the guests recently. People who have really been determined to be a market leader. And we're going to be talking about what does it take to really sustain that balance in saying you're going to be really edgy. You're committed to being on the forefront of your industry. You're committed to innovation. You're committed to, now think about this. Take the word committed. If you're hard driving like that, you're driven to be first. The implications to that one decision are huge. In fact, it doesn't even feel like a decision. Sometimes it's almost a personality type. Have you noticed that? Some of us are obsessed, some of us are driven, some of us crave, some of us are, you know, have ambitions, some of us are goal-oriented, and other people just aren't. I don't know if there's a pill that's going to change personality, but if you have that, there are so many implications to saying, we want this. All right, now think about it. First, the management of the individual. Now, obviously, it's going to be a lot of other people, but if you're that driven, you're that ambitious, you say you're going to be a leader, you're obsessed. You've got health issues you've got to watch for because people are depending on your energy. They crave it. They love it. They ride your coattails. But you've got to make sure you can sustain it. So if I've noticed that one of the things in the clients that I've dealt with and the guests on the show, a lot of them are athletes, have been athletes. But if they do not look at what happens over their lifetime, the phases and waves of their life, and don't get physicals, they don't get themselves checked, they get surprised by heart problems. They get surprised by diabetes. They get surprised by something that they never thought they'd have. So I just want to, I know it's not where you're expecting me to start, but the management of the driven person matters. Now, let's do the next layer. Okay, let's say you've done that. What is the implication of you being so driven, you being so excited, you being so, you know, goal-oriented? Who needs to be around you? Now, not necessarily your executive committee, but what kind of support system does a driven person need? Think about it. Everything from, you know, who's doing the shopping, who's taking care of the kids with you, who is shopping for your next house, who is helping raise the kids, who is, now think about the friends, the spouse, the kids, your support system. I mean, I find that the driven people, they're so busy. They need a really good network of vendors. Everything down to the handyman, to the, you name it, has to be comfortable. Now, I find a lot of people get caught up in that, and they haven't managed their personal life. So the surprise is, you know, the business is on a roll, they're on the Inc. 500, they're looking like they're hot, you know, they're on the media, all this stuff. And then you look, you know, kind of underneath or behind, and they've taken spouses for granted, or they've taken kids for granted, or they haven't figured out, you know, that the garden isn't going to grow on its own. And the presumption that people in their intimate life, their close family, are going to be like a support staff, and it was never negotiated, never contracted, never paid. I want you to pause for just a second before we get into the business stuff. How do you manage your personal life? Are you inadvertently, in your ambition, sending out messages to the friends that you need them to just take care of you? And there's an ego that's attached to it. You can act arrogant. You don't even know you're acting arrogant. You can act like, you know, your stuff's more important and everybody else is expendable. And it can fall apart like a house of cards when someone hasn't really thought about who their friends are, how they treat their spouses, how they raise their kids. Hear it? It's very isolating, and all of a sudden you can have, you know, a real comeuppance. You can have a real rude awakening if you have been taking people around you for granted. Another thought about friends for really ambitious people is think about who your friends are. You know, you've heard this your whole life. It's truly important who your friends are. If you inadvertently, I've seen this with some athletes, and I've seen it with some rock stars, they inadvertently have groupies that are dependent. You know, I think about Allen Iverson. I live near Philadelphia, and he was a basketball star, and he switched teams. But one of the issues that was in the paper all the time about him was the friends that he had that were users, that, you know, always wanted money. They were dependent on him to solve their problems. And not being able to manage your personal life definitely interferes with managing your business life. So think about who your friends are. Are they similar to you? Are they ambitious? Are they oriented to success? Are they positive? Or do you have a whole bunch of dependent people who are draining you? Look around, because some of the plateaus of a business is the personal life that somebody hasn't even asked. Now, that wasn't necessarily on your agenda, but you know, here we are at the beginning of the year. I want you to pause and think. Who are the people around you? They're not all, quote, your support network. Hear the language? What do you mean, support? You know, it's peers. Make sure that you think of the painter, the person who's helping you build the house as a partner, or that arrogance is going to bite you. And you're going to get more expensive fees, and it isn't going to go as well, and you're going to have bad deadlines, and you'll have divorces. Get it? Now that you've taken care of yourself, I mean, that's a whole show. But now you've got that centered. Think about what the executive committee needs to be like if you're truly driven. What you're truly looking for is that commitment to learning. Think about, you know, somebody who embraces technology and isn't afraid of it. Somebody who embraces the new approaches to hiring and selection, recruitment and retention. I mean, you've got to make sure you've got what they call A players. When you read the literature, you see Jim Collins talks about it that way. Jeff Smart talks about it that way. Everybody's referring to the A players. Okay. And you've got a clean house so that if your key players, you know, like a CFO, it doesn't understand the culture of the business, isn't hard driving, goes home and kind of says, oh, yeah, I've done enough today. I'm done. I'll get back to it tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. It doesn't even matter what the topic is. If you're driven for excellence, you're driven to be a leader in the industry. The key people that are over the four areas of the business, I mean, think about it. Who is over client services? Who sets the tone for what the customer is going to experience? Who sets the tone over business development? Who's over that marketing and sales piece? Even though it's not, again, it's not only one person, it never is. But who's setting the tone? Are they as driven? Are they as oriented to excellence? Are they as oriented to learning? Are they managing their personal life? You know, and people are really, you know, they have a hard time asking about that. There's questions you can and can't ask, but you can get a sense if somebody's life journey has had some logic and some flow and some center. Are they centered? Or is it erratic and reactive and it's going to affect your business? It truly is. So take a look at, you know, who's over the finance? Who's over the customer service? Who's over the technology process, the management of the business? See it? And who's over the business development? You know, sometimes your organizational structure, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 key people, but it comes down to a balance of about 4 key things. And I find a lot of the companies, for them to really hard drive past the plateaus that happen at about 20 million, they don't have 4 centered people behind the driven leader. It falls apart. And that's where I would start. I would have you look at, instead of you get all exercised about, do you have the latest, greatest software, or all exercised about whether or not your product has got the latest trademark and it's, you know, the most, you know, innovative and you've spent all the money to make it perfect. Before any of that, if you don't have the right people in that team, it is so expensive, so difficult, so draining, so hard. You get it? So there's a flow. Make sure you're centered. Make sure your personal life makes sense. I mean, everybody's got a different version of what that means. And then look at the key people. Now, you go back to the literature and you read about the successful entrepreneurs and the support network, the key peers, matters. And watch what happens when they're centered. How freeing is it when you get together because you're not worried about what somebody's going to say, or they didn't show up, or they didn't deliver, or you've got this anchor. And it's all about balance, isn't it? You're trying to dominate a marketplace. You know, do you have one of those areas of the four that's constantly a limiting factor. Let's say, just pick one. Doesn't matter which one, because everybody's got, you know, one they excel at and one they suck at, and a couple that are in the middle. That's just so common. So let's say, you know, the one that's your limiting factor, your anchor, is the financial side. You know, you're always fussing with cash. When you're growing and you're ambitious and you're on the lead, that's not free. One of the implications to just that decision, I didn't even say what industry you're in. I didn't say what product you're in. Here, it doesn't matter what geography it is. Just the commitment to being first and in the lead and on the edge, it's expensive. You've got to pay money for the newest technology. You've got to pay money for research and development. You've got to pay money for these leaders that are so hot. Every time you turn around, it's not your imagination. Every day is payroll day. You notice? Every day is payday. Cash just sucks right out of a business when somebody is ambitious like that and committed to being on the lead. So think about it. What does that take to truly manage the cash so that you don't have surprises, you don't run short, you don't overspend? There's, you know, it's not just necessarily just you. Where is the expertise in managing the balance of debt, capital investment, credit, collection, you know, capacity utilization? Boy, that magic balance of all the C's, capital, credit, collection, cash, you know, got it. It's amazing. Who's got that magic so that it's not a limiting factor? You know how many people who are ambitious and want to grow their business, their solution is they think they can just go out and get outside money and just throw money up at it? Kind of like a spoiled kid that goes to dad or mom and says, well, I need more money. I ran out. No. When are you going to be adult about the business and say, we're going to get expertise in managing money? And I started with that because I'm seeing an awful lot of the ambitious people, excuse my language, suck at money management. And the financial drain, the cash drain, is the first thing to go for most. The second thing I see go is a lack of willingness to have advisors or board members. And I mean real board members. Everybody's so afraid of losing control. Yeah, well, some control would help. It'd be nice to have some control from people who are focused on the bottom line and not aren't as passionate. I know that sounds funny, but your passion, you know, our passion in our businesses sometimes distorts our decisions. So somebody who's focused on the bottom line, somebody who's focused on the building the value and has that dispassionate objectivity and skill, best favor you can have. So take a look. Again, this is like looking at your friends, looking at your relatives, and looking at your executive team. Who's on your board? Before you're forced to have a board, before it's because of venture capital made it happen, before you went IPO, who's on your board? Do you respect them? Would you listen to them? Do they keep you balanced? That management piece, I see some people agonize over the, you know, the process day to day. But if you're an innovative leader, if you're committed to lead the marketplace, you're going to be the big honcho. How are you figuring out how you define the market if you're not getting objectivity? Boy, that opening went fast. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a really wonderful person. You'll see how living this journey plays out. After the break, I'll introduce you to John Younger of Ocolo. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then... time passes and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about making that commitment to be a market leader. You know, all the innovation and all the, you know, the implications to just saying, I'm going to be a leader. Now, our guest today is John Younger, who is the CEO of Ocolo. John, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now before we go any further, what's an Ocolo?
What's in a cola?
What is that?
Well, with two olives, it's fabulous.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like a great drink. Yeah, what's a A-C-C-O-L-O? What is
it? A cola means neighbor or to live near in Latin.
Okay, cool. You took Latin in school?
Well, I took Latin as a URL because all the words in the English dictionary were taken.
All right, so now why would your company be named after neighbor?
Neighbor or to live near. What I realized is that in order to solve this problem around hiring, that fundamentally, it's about relationships, mm-hmm. and it goes way beyond recruiting. Mm-hmm. And that we had a strategy and a model that now is proven to be very accurate, where we could actually connect people in highly confidential ways to basically eliminate or greatly reduce the pain involved in hiring.
Well, so cool. So you're like I think a Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of TV show, and the guy's got the great neighbor next door he can get the advice from.
Exactly.
And you can never see his face.
Exactly.
But it's kind of got a little bit of privacy to it.
The social network on steroids is what it is.
So now be specific. Let's not miss the sales pitch. Who are the customers that you serve, and what do you actually do for them?
All right. So everybody knows what recruiting agencies are, I suspect.
Yeah, search firms.
Yeah. Okay. And usually it comes with that sort of search firms.
Firms, headhunters, mm-hmm.
We largely...
Big commission, pain in the
exactly.
ass.
We largely eliminate the need for them.
Now, how do you do that?
We help companies in the small and mid-sized. We can work with larger ones, but there's reasons we want to focus on small and mid-sized companies, have a Fortune 50 or better entire hiring infrastructure in a turnkey way.
So how is that done? Is there somebody from your firm show up and sit there, or you have software? What do you do?
It's actually a complete recasting of the whole equation. So we're not an agency. We are the internal hiring function with an implementation where we actually become part of the fabric of their company. We might deploy people on site, might have an off-site. Our technology, just to give you a sense, is smart enough to build a unique referral community around every job and every geography.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I
have to go back up a little bit and find out how you get into this, but I want to know which kind of target markets you went after, because part of being committed to being an industry leader is you're not trying to be everything to everybody.
Right.
So something tells me that even with this investment in this cutting-edge approach, you have some target industries. What are they?
We have four primarily, and it's not exclusive, primarily. And it's technology, mm-hmm. digital media advertising, mm-hmm. medical devices, mm-hmm. and sustainable energy.
Later on, I'm going to go back and have you tell us how you've chose those, because that's one of the points of being an industry leader. You got to be able to decide,
right,
you know, quick and focus, and not try to be everything to everybody, because you just lose it. Talk about a cash drain.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Right.
So we'll go, promise. You know, we'll go back to that.
All right.
Now, how did you get into this? I remember looking at and listening to you in our rehearsal. You were like an Olympic rower, and you went to Notre Dame.
Yes.
And you studied math and computer science.
That's right.
How did you get into recruitment?
Well, yeah, I'm a recovering software developer.
And
I got into human resources when I wrote an applicant tracking system in 1987.
Okay.
They loved it so much, they pulled me in, and that's when the journey for what Ocolo became started. And what
that's
I realized...
20 years you've been focused on all this, huh?
Yes. On all sides, though. I was a technology developer, software developer. I was a VP of HR.
Bank of America.
Uh-huh.
So you'd be over... leading the technical recruitment for like 16,000 people.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
That's a big job. Did you like that?
It was what was great. I had a senior vice president who would block and tackle for me so I could keep breaking the rules. So I was one of the first users of what became Monster. I've been pushing the envelope hard in this industry that entire time with whatever new technology or approach I've been incorporating and learning. And what I found is up to this point, they haven't actually brought about a materially better result.
That's true. And you know what? It's funny because I sometimes get calls after a show like this when a statement like that's been made where someone will take umbrage over, what do you mean recruitment hasn't improved? And yet, the people within the industry are expressing the frustration that there really aren't enough advances. You know?
Right.
I'm going to try an interview question on you like you do when you hire.
Cool.
How'd you make the change from being a VP of Human Resources for Bank of America, where you'd been for 7 years, to being an entrepreneur? Because it looks like by 1996 you were doing YNET and TriNet.
That's right.
How did you make that change? How did that happen?
Well, it's interesting. Bank of America had acquired Security Pacific Bank.
Okay.
And understand that the whole time I was at Bank of America, it's an important aspect about who I am,
yeah,
that I basically functioned in a mode of I'm going to get promoted or fired.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that I was pushing the envelope hard. Even at Bank of America, I set up the first vendor on-premise with Olson Corporation, which was later adopted by Adecco.
Right.
Acquired by Adecco.
Right.
So I was pushing the envelope hard on how to move this industry and Bank of America forward, sometimes in spite of itself. And I had a senior vice president who kept knocking things out of my way. So when I left, I started a consulting company to help companies automate and optimize their hiring and recruiting processes.
Gotcha. But you had an entrepreneurial enough job there that some of this was learned while you were an employee, huh?
You bet. Well, and I actually had my own company when I went through college as well.
Uh-huh. I think this is, you know, you're a serial entrepreneur from what I can
tell. It's a genetic defect.
So now, what was YNET?
And YNET was, it was a consulting company, but it was more like an agency. So we used an applicant tracking system called Skillset Software.
Yeah.
And we would deploy this software and recruiters to help companies hire. And it was basically looking at kind of the same model that's out there today ostensibly, but being a little more or a lot more efficient in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led, I started that in January of 1996, and I sold it to TriNet in November of 1996.
Cool. A really good, ROI?
Well, it was a great relationship, and one of the things I've learned is that in those kinds of transactions, it's not about maximizing every dollar. It's about making sure it's the right fit.
Yeah.
So I stayed as an executive, the president of that division at TriNet until I started Ocolo in 2000.
Now, if I read it right, TriNet was on, Inc. 500 for 4 years.
Yes.
So, you've lived that journey of growing really quickly.
You bet.
Okay, so January 2000 comes along, you found Ocolo.
Mm-hmm.
And you had decisions about, I'm reading this, okay, dramatically improve how people and jobs find each other and rooted in his deep understanding of technology, the recruitment process, and a core belief that everyone deserves courtesy and respect. Yes?
Right.
So that's central to Ocolo's vision, methods, and communications. Now that goes back to how I opened. You decided you were going to be a leader in what market?
At that point, what I was trying to do was take all this learning and form it into this entirely different approach on how to be an internal hiring function, if that makes sense.
Okay, it does.
By the way, there's one data point. If there's other executives on the phone, or on the radio, rather, one of the things that often comes up is, yada, 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 hear all the marketing, yeah, you're better, better, better. One data point, or a couple data points that might be interesting, can I share those?
Yes.
So one is that with this model, when we're your internal hiring function,
yeah.
we can find, pre-interview, and introduce the person that you will hire in a meeting of 8 days.
There you go. If you shorten the time frame, everybody understands what you're talking about.
Well, and it's also the right person. So the hiring manager satisfaction for us is like an 8.8 out of 10, which is unheard of.
Do you have some guarantees, for example? Because everybody, the problem is they spend all this money and time, and then they end up with someone who's got potential but doesn't fit.
Right. Well, and that's a contract term. We're not a recruiting agency. We're the internal hiring function.
I got you.
So it's a little different relationship.
True. I got you. All right. So now, because you've committed to being, you know, on the leading edge, let me just pick one piece of the four parts. What's been the journey related to technology? You know, what kind of money have you had to spend? What kind of people have you had to hire? What kind of risks have you taken just on the technology side?
Well, on the technology side, it took me 3 development teams in 2 years to get version 1 out.
No kidding.
So imagine this. I have this in totally different structure of how recruiting happens. So about 80% of the 10 best practices in hiring are done by our technology, so that the 20% that is the TLC to the hiring managers and the candidates, mm-hmm. it's far greater than you'll ever see from a traditional recruiting model.
Gotcha.
Sounds
great. So now, did you have to go out and get outside funding to finance that? What did you do?
So in 2000, I raised money from a personal friend, Trinet,
okay.
and one of the board members of Trinet who believed in me, had no idea what I was doing.
But they believed in you. All right.
So,
well, see, that's one of the implications of being one of these hard driving. Some people watch you and they say, you know, tell me when you're doing something else. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So raised about $750,000.
Okay.
Hired a small team, build a prototype. The plan was to build a prototype, show people it worked, and then get more funding.
Yeah. And?
So several things happened. One, the bubble burst.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
We all live that.
Okay, all right.
So imagine this. Talking about hiring technologies and process and methods and social networks and software as a service and internal hiring department, it just didn't fit anybody's little box.
Money did you lose in the first few years?
All of it.
Uh-huh.
So,
God bless you, you're normal.
Exactly.
So how did you regroup?
So I laid everybody off. I brought the office back into my house.
Oh, my God.
I liquidated my retirement.
Did you still have this commitment to being first?
Well, it was about... It's funny. What was going through my mind wasn't first.
Yeah.
It was the clarity of knowing there has to be a more sane way to support hiring.
Yeah,
and
you've got this, you know, compulsion that it ain't right, it's broken, I'm going to fix it.
Well, and 94%.
It's kind of like when you listen to the ads that Steve Dyson, you know, how many times did he work on the prototype for his vacuum cleaner?
Right,
like
exactly.
1,000 times, yeah.
And that's just one more way it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
Well, for me, what I realized is that, for example, the people looking for work, and if anybody on the phone, or I keep saying on the phone, but not on the phone yet.
No, they're logging on.
They're logging on.
They understand.
They understand. But the people who apply to jobs, 94% of them never hear back from anybody. It's ridiculous.
I know. It's amazing. It's rude, if nothing else.
So what I realized is that the clarity of how to do this was there. What wasn't there was the prototype.
Gotcha. All right, now we're gonna pick up and figure out how did you pull it together, because you're not at that startup stage anymore.
No.
This is Aldana Ambler, the Growth Strategist. We'll be right back with John Younger of Ocolo.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show, to The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today I'm interviewing John Younger of Acolo, and, you know, he's got a new model for the search function for, you know, rapidly growing companies, this mid-market companies that we have listening. This is an approach that they've come up with. And, you know, he's living your journey. So now I want to make sure we finish the loop on what you talked about. Early phase, okay, 2000, 2001, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
You did outside financing. You had to downsize. So what'd you learn? What advice would you give to listeners? Are they going to look at that and say, ooh, I don't want to do what he does?
Well, I learned three big things.
Yeah.
And the first one was, however easy you think it's going to be, it's not.
Amen.
Right? And like I said, I went through three development teams. It was painful, absolutely painful.
But, you know, it proved your commitment.
Well,
the idea
also,
that somebody's going to have a perfect commitment, you know, a development team the first time, is just silly.
Well, the second thing I learned was that I needed to actually go subterranean for, I think it was up to, it was like four and a half months.
Yeah.
And build a functional specification. I mean, being a software geek in my past, I wrote a binder. And what I found is I was trying to educate the software development teams and leaders mm-hmm. about why this was going to work and how, as opposed to giving them a paint by numbers.
I understand. You kind of have to dip into some of the expertise that you might have left behind. I see some CEOs sometimes when they're in that role, and they don't let themselves write the software or, you know, they figure they're past that. No, you're not. If your business is at the phase where you got to perfect the model, you know, shut up and do it.
Right. And in this case, I didn't actually write the software. I just wrote a functional spec so I could get current technologists to write it. But I sat with a team of eight or nine surrounding me, consultants this time.
Well, now, so that everybody in the listening audience understands, I mean, obviously this worked out. You're at 60 people now.
Right.
And, you know, so you're on these lists of rapidly growing companies and such. How did you make that transformation from having to go back into your home and, you know, writing a book to...
Well, this was probably the third and most significant learning that I had, and it really relates back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
I had been trying to get people who didn't have a high enough talent or had some other flaw as it related to what we needed. And I was hoping they would either rise to the occasion or we could together fix whatever that flaw was.
You know what's interesting is we talked about that before, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed an awful lot of people who have passion about their business, even if they're specialists in HR, become like suckers for potential somehow. And, you know, their vision and what we're working on is so exciting that if somebody, you know, can't quite cut it, somehow they'll magically transform. And, boy, is that a hole.
Well, and the passion for the business is like a magnet.
Yes.
In and of itself.
Well, you know, and it's very much like I was saying in the opening. There's also people who are users that will see that you're excited about your business and, you know, that you're spending on it and, you know, that you might need them. And it's almost like a leech behavior. Uh-huh. Of, you know, okay, well, I can also help him, but, you know, there's almost manipulative behavior that surfaces if you're not careful. So do you have stronger radar to watch for, you know, the BS artists now?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I went through a period where my friends called me the hatchet man, affectionately.
So did you overreact and, like, the pendulum swung the other way?
No, I don't think I overreacted, but what I did was I realized, and it really started in the sales arena, that it's okay. Sales was always, just give you an example, sales was always one of those areas where it was this mystical thing, and they just figured out how to make it happen. And I went to a consulting
Spoken
company.
Spoken like a technologist who
exactly.
did not come from the sales arena.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the salespeople I would hire would tell me about how hard it is and how it's a product issue, how it's something else. And and it wasn't until I hired a consulting company in San Francisco and ended up living in their space for a brief period that I realized that the myth of sales is just that, a myth.
Sales.
And, in fact, it's a mathematics game.
Uh-huh. It's odds. I mean, the tracking and the pipeline and, you know, how is your conversion rate going?
It's
how
probabilities.
Is your closing rate
going?
Yep.
And it snapped into place, and it's like, aha, it's okay to hold people accountable to having a pipeline that we can all measure.
Yeah. Well, you know, in your balance, okay, so the marketing and sales piece wasn't your forte, you know, the technology piece, the, you know, the process piece, mm-hmm. the service delivery, the, you know.
Right.
So you had to deal with it. Good for you. So, all right, now next wave, you know, after you get the, you know, the prototype, the model kind of going, what was your next big epiphany or wave and big strategy that took, you know, made the company take off?
Well, what's interesting is, keep in mind, this is, again, when the market was at its lowest possible point.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine having this, anything related to recruiting and hiring, at a point when layoffs were pervasive.
Okay, so timing is everything.
Timing is everything. So we dug the well at the low water mark.
I've been through 4 recessions, and it's interesting to me. Real wealth is made during recessions.
Right.
You know, so what'd you do?
Well, what I realized is part of our equation is the ability to screen and actually pre-interview thousands of people for the job with a degree of fluidity and efficiency that can't be done manually. So we got hired by companies who laid off their recruiters. They didn't want to use agencies, but they still needed to hire people.
Yep.
So we could sift through the 500, 600 applicants and show them the top 10 in a heartbeat.
One of the things that some good companies did during that time, and they're doing it again, is that when the hiring kind of goes down and everybody's trying to coast or they're laying off, you actually can address, like, the non-performers or the wounded birds or, you mm-hmm. know, the people that you've been, you know, you really should be replacing. You
right.
can get rid of the C players, and the A players are out there. It's a real good time to commit to excellence, don't you think?
Well, A players attract A players.
Yes.
That's the other aha I had, is that if we kept, I kept, and I won't mention any names, but one in particular person who was a friend of mine, and she really was instrumental for getting us through some tough times. And,
yeah.
And what I realized that she was a distant C or D player emotionally.
Well, and the role changed. And it wasn't.
And the role changed, et cetera.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was the hardest thing I had to do was to address that. But once I did, it was actually better for her. It was better for us. It was better for the company. And that's really what sparked this growth. So we just started selling.
Now, when you were in that sell mode and you were in the hatchet man mode and really being more selective, is that when you picked, like, sustainable energy and digital media as your targets?
What's
not?
Interesting, those have evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, as the internal hiring function, we have to be able to support any job an organization has.
Gotcha.
So this is a different problem to solve than, say, a recruiting agency. So
right.
we can't go back to you with your company and say, Aldana, sorry, we don't do finance and accounting. It's not in our vertical.
Gotcha.
As the internal hiring function, I would get fired.
Yeah.
So this was designed around treating every single job as unique.
All right, so what would happen is you'd have key clients, and then you'd get referred within the industry, or you'd learn the lingo.
Right.
And so you had an energy client, you learned enough about the industry, so you'd go after another one.
Well, the energy one is a little different. I'll get to that in a second.
But
so
how did you not get in trouble, you know, by looking like you were helping competitors? I guess that's where that's why I was going there.
That's where every job is unique. So if it's the
All
same
right.
job at two different companies, it's
right.
different teams, different geographies, different
yes.
personalities of the organization, different specific deliverables, what we figured out how to do is mass customize.
Oh, I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Very good.
And,
okay.
and it sounds good in theory. So we have gone out. We have gone out actively and found as weird, wacky, wild, diverse, nutty jobs as you could possibly imagine to prove that theory out, and it's worked.
I understand.
From Carl Icahn, CTO, mm-hmm. to contract jugglers, to ASIC design engineers, to grid professionals.
Gotcha.
You know.
So that would help you, you know, network within an industry. So, for
right.
example, when you say in sustainable energy, your benefit is actually that you out-hire the oil companies, right?
That's right. That's what about a year and a half ago, I realized we would make a bigger impact by simply out-hiring the oil companies.
All right, now let's pick one of the four areas and talk about the implications. Saying that you're going to promise that you out-hire the oil companies for that niche, okay, for the sustainable energy companies, what are the implications to your day-to-day process and technology and how you do things?
Well, I think the key thing in terms of how we focus our energies on a daily basis
right.
is to understand the top performer profile. And this is right out of
okay.
top grading.
Yeah.
So
I think Jeff Smart's stuff is really good.
It's great. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if anybody out there, when it's something they have, hired and fired people or hired and had superstars, mm-hmm. you know there are attributes of people who are rock stars.
Yeah.
For any given role. Well, we figured out how to extract those, and by extracting those in a 15-20-minute conversation, we can actually target the entire effort around your job, your personality, your company, your geography. So when we say we can out-hire the oil companies, everything we do on a daily basis is centered around making sure that extraction and the articulation of that opportunity reflects that.
Gotcha. Now, you have passion about this, and you're making
yes.
you're going after big accounts. You're investing in new technology. You're hiring expensive people. All right. In each year, when you look back, were there some times where you realize, oh, that's the limiting factor? Right?
Right.
Okay. And now tell me how you deal with that. Do you have quarterly meetings, weekly meetings? And how do you discover, you know, when you're developing a limiting factor to attack it? How do you do that?
Well, I'm a big fan of open book management.
Okay.
You know, Jack Stack.
So, all right. So one of the things is everybody's talking about it and there's no secrets.
That's right.
So this transparency does help.
And then nothing's sacred as well, which mm-hmm. is an interesting dynamic. I know I'm passionate about this. There's a lot of people in our company passionate about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's sacred. Someone comes to me and says, your baby's ugly. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. What do you see?
Yeah, like you could look at maybe one of your niches and somehow there's not the momentum. You're not getting the new clients. You're not making the profit in that
right.
niche. And, okay, so let's develop another one.
Right.
Okay. Now, how did you develop that culture of nothing sacred?
One of them is the way I behave as a CEO.
Mm-hmm. True.
Being open and, in fact, bringing on more questions.
Mm-hmm.
What don't you like? For example, we just did a start, stop, keep survey.
Well, there's a good example.
And it's a survey.
That's a model. I mean, can somebody say, I don't know why we're still doing blah, blah. Yeah.
Right. And in this particular case, it was anonymous, although I'm not a big fan of anonymous.
No, but sometimes it makes them say it.
Well,
I understand this because you know what? Passionate people sometimes get truly attached to where they came from instead
right.
of where they're going. Ah, I hear music, so we're going to have to take a break. This is The Growth
right.
Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with John Younger of Ecolo.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-888-ALDONA. ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about what it takes to have that commitment to being an innovator, an industry leader, and following through. And I have a guest today, John Younger of Ocolo, and he and I have decided we're going to have another conversation with each other because we can tell we can help one another's clients. And before we go any further, I want John, give some contact information for the listeners so that they can contact you. Where would they
sure.
reach you?
Get information, www.acolo, that's acolo.com/info.
Okay.
There's
and
one.
If they wanted to call or email you, what would they do?
I'm gonna, at the risk of being completely insane, I'm going to give out my personal stuff.
Go for it.
It's Jay Younger, J-Y-O-U-N-G-E-R, at acolo.com, A-C-C-O-L-O.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt. It's nice to get the questions.
And I'm going to give my personal phone number.
Okay.
Because from what I understand about your audience, there are people who understand that don't just call.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're peers, I'd love to talk to them.
Yeah.
And it's 415-755-1202.
I appreciate you doing that. And to get me, if someone knows my name, it's really easy. It's aldona@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at A-M-B-L-E-R.com. The website is thegrowthstrategist.com, and the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA. I had multiple businesses and all these telephone numbers, so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you use. So now I want to go back to a little bit, just kind of like back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on this journey. I have a feeling, you know, you're headed towards something exciting. You've committed to being, you know, kind of in the lead. Domination, market domination. What are you going to do next?
Yeah, we humbly call it our market domination plan.
Which means what?
Well, we have the delivery model. We have this construct where you can get a Fortune 50 infrastructure for, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month.
Yeah.
We have the, you know, we can introduce the person within 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
On Median, and we have the verticals, which are our guides. So what we realized is that to get the next layer of growth, we needed to have a fewer number of geographies. So rather than being paper thin in lots of places around the U.S., U.K., and Canada,
mm-hmm.
let's really concentrate on a few geographies and get enough traction and enough influence and grounding that we can do that as a model, though. So it's not just
prove the model.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're doing that now
which
in Chicago.
Which cities, which metropolitan areas did you pick?
Chicago, New York, and the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay. Cool.
So
somehow I thought you'd pick Houston, given your
Well, we're one at a time.
Okay. No, that's true.
So,
given your niches,
model,
I thought that would be one of them. You know?
As a model,
mm-hmm.
we are now digging in and getting a ton of information and traction in all
mm-hmm.
three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And as a repeatable model, now once we get, you know, reasonably, we think just in Chicago, there's probably $20 to $40 million worth of revenue for us right there.
Mm-hmm.
And when then we turn on the next geography after we nail these three.
It's hard to not get overcommitted and overexcited and go too fast, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I have to say that's probably my biggest frustration. We've got six things on our strategic
mm-hmm.
Chart,
yeah.
And it's hard not to go faster down all six of them.
Do you have a board of directors that kind of helps you with that?
We do. In fact, we raised about $3 million in mid-2007.
Mm-hmm.
We were profitable.
So you dealt with that?
Yeah.
You actually went and created the board. You didn't have that same hesitance that so many people have.
Not at all. In fact,
well,
we've had a board since the company was founded.
Well, good for you.
But the move in 2007 wasn't about raising money.
Yeah.
It was about upgrading the board.
Gotcha.
You
sound like that book that I've talked about more than once, you know, The Blueprint to a Billion.
Exactly.
One of the seven things.
And that was one of the seven things that had a gap in it.
Yeah, well, good for you for dealing with it. So it's helping you pace, like, which market and how fast.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Catherine Gould is one of the people on our board. She was employee 15 at Oracle, worked
mm-hmm.
directly with Larry,
mm-hmm.
was there the day they hired their first salesperson in Chicago, a guy named Tom Siebel.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you picked some skill.
She is a rock star.
Oh, you mean you didn't bring in, like, your uncle or somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
I am amazed what people put on their board. It's like, what are you thinking?
Right.
It's not eyewash. It's not just to have filled it to just say you have board members. Make it real, you know?
Right.
You can tell when somebody's truly not committed to being a market dominator.
It's weird having a boss, though. It's
yeah,
weird
but
having
you know
a
what?
Boss.
You have bosses all the time anyway. The bank is your boss a lot of times. The customers are your boss
right.
a lot of times. Right? You know, so sometimes it feels like the executive committee is your boss, even though you're the boss of them.
Right.
Doesn't it? Or am I?
Oh, yeah. Well, it does. It does. Well, I think
bosses.
It goes back to making sure we don't. And making sure I don't turn the record button off, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always listening, learning.
Exactly. Now, what do you think is your biggest challenge now of the four? Your limiting factor. You got an anchor but of business development, or is it finance, or is it the technology process, or is it the customer service piece? What?
I think right now our limiting factor
mm-hmm.
is to move beyond the innovative cell. In,
mm-hmm.
in Jeffrey Moore's terms, we're crossing the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
This is the path that will give companies the safest way to hire the right people,
mm-hmm.
but it's a model they haven't seen before. What do you mean you're going to put people on site and have them managed
yeah.
With a director, and there's going to be off-site and technology and
yeah.
the
yeah.
manage our job listing page and no applicant tracking system needed?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't fit anything.
Well, it's an educational sale because they're not used to it. Frankly, it's like when I was trying to get sponsor money for the online radio program. Internet radio wasn't a line item for the corporations. So, you know, if they could see the value of it, all the statistics, et cetera, told them it was a good thing. But it's not on the line item, on the budget. So they,
right.
And, like, it wasn't even an agenda item.
Exactly.
So that's what you're dealing with. You know, it's not even a budget item to do it your way. So you have to wake people up. How do you wake them up? How do you educate them about the new model?
Well, I think another thing I learned is that we probably don't need to do that. I know that sounds crazy. One of
yeah.
the lessons learned
what do you do? Put the mirror in front of them and show them
we
the pain?
Just reduce the barriers to yes.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like a Fortune 50 or better internal hiring function?
Yeah.
And the total cost is going to be a fraction of what you'd spend yourself, your
right.
own recruiters, your own technology, your own job boards.
Right.
And if you hate it,
I think marketing-wise, I would put the pain in front of somebody.
Exactly. Is
you
this
know,
painful?
You're fed up with having the wrong people, and it's costing
right.
too much, and
so,
there's got to be a better way.
So rather than try to educate them on our model, we say,
mm-hmm.
if for a couple $1,000s a month, you can start, have a whole internal hiring
mm-hmm.
function, and you can turn it off 60 days notice, no harm, no foul. Do you want to try it?
Now, see, I think the limitation for your business, believe it or not, might be the legal model, the licensing, the replication of it, that if you can't find people who are going to, like, follow the process and think almost franchising in their head, just imagine, think about it. If you don't have somebody who's really good at that structural piece of how you footprint this and replicate it. I mean, I've done a lot of geographic expansion and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thought I have, is if you don't have somebody that's really good at that.
And we're fortunate. In Matt Cooper, we have someone. I actually met him when I was with a consulting company in San Francisco.
Well, good. Okay, good.
And
so you answered that.
one of the six strategic initiatives is what we call white label, where a company can actually use our entire methods construct and access to this proprietary career network in a black box, though.
Right.
So they can't see who's in it because it's just people like you and me, and we don't want to be seen.
Well, you're going to be surprised that we've got like 30 seconds. You have been a wonderful guest. I want to make sure that everybody knows, you know, they can go to acolo.com, you know, info.com. And think about the idea of the A players, the balance, your commitment to excellence has implications to your hiring, your money, your follow-through, and it comes in waves, folks. It's not all static. My wish for you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the growth strategist, Eldonna Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.